Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Texas is Leslie Ann Durant. Leslie Ann is the Senior Corporate Counsel, Regulatory for United Surgical Partners. And today we're going to be talking about compliance issues in border communities, issues around treating immigrants, migrants, and refugees. Leslie Ann, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, do rules such as EMTALA apply to undocumented patients?
Yes. Any hospital with an emergency room is subject to the EMTALA regulation. And therefore, any individual who comes to the emergency room, including an undocumented individual, that hospital does have an obligation to provide a medical screening exam and treat and stabilize that individual. And usually that's going to be the first point of contact that many facilities in border areas will have with undocumented patients.
Now, HIPAA generally prevents the disclosure of patient information. I think that's even whether someone is a patient or not. Now, does that apply to the undocumented, or is there some obligation to disclose to law enforcement or others if they start asking?
So HIPAA applies to any patient that is a patient of a covered entity. So, of course, any hospital billing for their services is going to be a covered entity and is subject to HIPAA regulations. But that said, there are a variety of exceptions under the HIPAA regulations that would likely fall into place in many instances, as you mentioned, law enforcement being one that is an issue that is coming up more frequently. With the enforcement environment right now on the southern border of the United States, I know my experience with the facility that I worked at down there in McAllen, Texas, we did have lots of interaction with law enforcement. And so, you know, a law enforcement agency such as ICE or Border Patrol may seek information about an individual. And so what the hospital needs to do is determine whether the information that law enforcement is seeking falls under the law enforcement exceptions. So there are certain exceptions where you don't have to get authorization of the patient, but it is restricted in the amount, what kind of information you can share. And then the hospital also has to keep in mind that these disclosures that they give to law enforcement, they're what are called permissible disclosures. So while HIPAA will allow you to disclose under the exception, you're not obligated to unless law enforcement shows up with a court order to get the information. And so facilities have to really balance this idea of, you know, the community relations and really take a feel for how much they want to participate with law enforcement versus the idea that could come sort of from a negative press situation if there was, you know, an issue that got out, like, oh, this hospital releases the status of its patients to ICE and Border Patrol. So it's something the hospital really needs to think about in terms of what information they're going to disclose, if they're going to disclose at all.
So as you were saying all this, one of the things that struck me as we're recording here in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic is if a hospital has a reputation for disclosing too much information or what the public thinks is too much information to law enforcement, it may discourage people from coming forward and asking for treatment, which could have implications for spreading the disease. Is that a real concern?
That's absolutely a concern. Any time a hospital has a policy that would, in a sense, make individuals afraid to seek treatment, you know, that's really problematic. And so, and I don't know any hospital that would want that. You know, hospitals are there to serve their communities. And so they really need to take a look at kind of overall what their policy will be regarding treating undocumented patients and then disclosures to law enforcement when certain requests for information do come in. So a common request that you would see from law enforcement in this arena, especially regarding undocumented patients, would be, you know, date of discharge. When is the patient going to be discharged? Because the law enforcement wants to know so they can then detain the individual once they're discharged. So those are kinds of things that the hospital has to take into consideration very carefully.
So let me ask another question. You know, as we know, some minors have been separated from their parents as they've come across the border. Who makes the medical decisions for them? And are there special documentation requirements that have to be followed or would be prudent to follow by healthcare providers?
This is a great question, and this is a topic that is hospitals are struggling with because the guidance is very, very unclear. Because what happens in situations with treating minors is state law can vary. So Texas laws regarding minors and who can consent to treatment for a minor is different than Arizona or New Mexico or California. So the hospital first has to understand its state law. And then when the HIPAA implications come into play about whether, okay, can we disclose a minor's information once it's been requested by an agency or anyone else, who can consent to the disclosure of the information? Well, HIPAA says whoever can consent to treatment can consent to the disclosure. Well, when that varies state by state, again, it becomes very, very complicated. So really, the best advice at this point is when you have a minor patient who is unaccompanied or maybe in custody of an agency, you know, you're really going to want to document as much as possible. Especially if that individual, usually the minor children are in the custody of some kind of agency when they're coming in for treatment or when information is being requested, you're going to want to document all of the paperwork that agency to provide you with. You want that agency to provide you with paperwork that shows that they have the authority and they have custody of that individual, of that minor child. This also gets really even more complicated when minors are seeking treatment for specialized services that might be exempt under state law. So an example of this would be sexual assault or suicide prevention treatment, mental health treatment. Some states allow minors to consent to these services without a guardian or parent or court involved. And if that's the case, does that mean then that minor has the authority and is the only one that can consent to the release of any information regarding those records? So in those complicated situations, it's very, very important for the compliance, the medical records, and the legal teams at the hospital to all be on the same page as to how they handle treatment and requests for information and release of information for minor children.
Now, some people who've crossed the border have been subject to physical abuse and assault by traffickers and others. Many may not want to report it, though, for fear that it will lead to their deportation. How should a provider handle these cases?
So I think the first and foremost, the providers and every provider that I've worked with, really the first thing is to get the individual the best possible treatment that they can. And there are significant barriers, especially if that individual is undocumented and they're seeking mental health treatment and sexual assault treatment. But the treatment is available regardless of whether the individual wants to actually pursue criminal action, actually wants to make a police report. So it's important for the facilities to understand that they don't necessarily have to follow, you know, a SANE process, which is a sexual assault nurse educators. They are specially trained nurses that many hospitals have that can do evidence collection and things like that. That individual may not want to pursue that prosecutorial side of that, but yet we can still provide the treatment for the individual and try and arrange for the services that they need, regardless of whether they want to get law enforcement involved. And frankly, I think most providers need to understand that that's really the patient's decision regarding reporting, and that our job as healthcare providers is just to make sure that individual gets the best possible treatment that's available to them.
Now, a somewhat related question. As a provider on the border, you also have to be on the lookout for modern slavery. Many states already have rules about putting up posters, for example. What do hospitals need to do to meet the growing requirements?
I think that there is a lot more training, I think, that is should be had for the frontline workers who interact with these individuals, our ER staff, our security staff, the people who are the first point of contact as patients come into our facilities. I think that there's a lot more opportunity for training and awareness of how to, detect signs of trafficking and try and figure out, the best possible route from there. Part of the training should be then what is the protocol after that? As we hinted at before, calling in law enforcement may not be what the individual wants. And then we're stuck in a very difficult decision as to if we believe a crime is being committed. There are also exceptions under HIPAA that we can take into account. But again, it's a balance that we have to play. What is in the best interest of the patient? And that's really what has to be first and foremost in the mind of the providers. And it's very difficult to ask nurses and techs and ER physicians to have to make those tough decisions in addition to trying to treat, the medical emotional, physical, mental issues that the patient might be having as well. And so the more training and support services that we can provide to make our frontline staff aware of the signs and what the best protocol is to follow, how to get patient consent, what to do if patients refuse to consent to notification of law enforcement, and really put strong protocols in place. And I think that that's something that facilities on or near the border really should be strengthening in terms of their wheelhouse and their training and resources.
Well, there's definitely a lot to consider here. And as you talk, there's quite a balance and a fine line that healthcare providers have to walk. Leslie Ann, thank you so much for sharing this insight with us in this very difficult area. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.